years old. I told most of y'all that last night, but just so you know, I was a young chicken when I met him, but, you know, time goes by, and now I'm still a young chicken, just got a few more years on top. Anyway, I was, when I first married Pastor Thurman, I told him, I had never submitted to a man ever in my life, and I would do my best to submit to him. And it says in Ephesians 5:22-25, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We've been married a little over a year and had moved into the little house. We sold, had a condo. We first lived there for a year, and I didn't know he prayed me out of the condo, but that was okay. I didn't know he did that. He convinced me I needed to sell it, you know, by prayer. And so we moved out to the little house, and he had built the little house before he built the big house, and they were attached with this big porte-cochere garage thing, you know, that you could drive underneath it. Anyway, he had built it over a five-year period by himself after work. And it was really nice. So one morning I woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning and I woke him up and asked him to pray for me. I said, I had a fire in my stomach. And he said, well, how long have you had it? I said, 2 days. And he said, well, why are you waiting till now to wake me up at this hour to ask me to pray for you? Why didn't you ask me to pray for you 2 days ago? And I said, well, I was praying for myself, you know. I used to, when I was single, I prayed for myself and my prayers got answered, so I just was praying for myself. He said, woman, which he always said when he's fixing to reprimand me, what don't you understand about wives submit to your husband in everything? He said it was fine, you know, that once you were single, it was fine to pray for yourself, but once you're married, he said, I am your spiritual head, and you have to go through me. You cannot go around me to get to Jesus, to get to Father God. I went, oh, well, Lord, I repent for praying for myself and then for not, you know, submitting to my husband. He reached over to touch my stomach, and just as he touched my stomach, instantly the fire was gone that had been there for 2 days. He didn't even get to say, be healed or anything. It just instantly was gone. So he, yeah, and I was very happy to have a godly mate that, you know, every time he prayed, I got healed, and I was so spoiled, which I love that too. And they were always definitely answered. Only one time I had this thing, when we were in the little house, I had this thing on my chest, and I said, I don't like the way this thing looks. I said, pray this off of me. And he prayed. Next day I went to him. I said, well, this thing is still here. You need to pray this off of me. He prayed again. And the third day I went up to him and I said, have you sinned somewhere? He goes, no. He said, the Lord has just spoiled you so much. He's teaching you patience. I said, oh, okay. And he prayed then, third time, and then it went off. So I was like, okay, praise God. Thank you. Because every time he prayed for me, everything got healed. And I was, like I say, I was very spoiled and continue to be spoiled. So, women, you can pray for your mate, your children, your friends, strangers. You can pray for anyone, but you cannot pray for yourself if you have a husband. Just like you can't go around Jesus to get to our Heavenly Father, you have to go through your husband, your spiritual head, who then goes to the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. But when you're praying for others, you also have to go through to the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus, so he will hear your prayers. Well, another fun time, I went in his office and I was trying to convince him to let me get some lip filler in my bottom lip, because my lipstick had just started feathering, you know, you get lines, and it just started feathering in some lines in the bottom of my lip, and I didn't like it. So I said, well, Christy, my daughter's going to go get some filler put in her laugh lines. Christy's 20 years younger than me. And he said, no. He said, that's man-made, and it might hurt you later. And so I kept talking to him. And I said, yeah, but I really want to do it. And I said, I just want a little bit of it. And he again told me no. I should have stopped right there. Well, about this time, the middle toe on my right foot completely turned and turned sideways just like that. Turned like that. It was like this, and then it turns like this. And, of course, I'm jumping around hollering, hun, help me, my toe. It was like somebody just twisted it. So he starts praying for me, but nothing happens. I'm still hollering. I'm dancing around in pain, you know, kicked my shoe off. Had on some high heel sandals. And so he went to the Lord and he said, Lord, why isn't Cheryl's toe stopping? He said, she is not submitting to your authority. He said, hun, the Lord just said, you're not submitting to my authority. I went, oh, I repent. I'll submit to my husband's authority. And immediately the pain stopped. So I've learned the hard way. I always tell him, I say, you know, I am your best teaching tool, without a doubt, you know, because I've probably walked into the wall several times, you know. But he was quite a man. We had this one little girl. She was 6.5 years old. I think they lived out in Washington. And they called. They had seen Caitlin's miracle. That was the story about his granddaughter being raised from the dead, and the 6-year-old friend that also was raised from the dead, and 7 other kids in Cook's Children's Medical Center in Fort Worth. And that was actually, all of that is what started him into the ministry. And so they had gotten Caitlin's miracle and watched it, and they were hoping that, you know, their daughter could get healed too. She suffered from eczema, severe eczema and allergies from the age of 2. And she could hardly eat anything. She had open, scabby sores. She was skinny and bones, and she never slept. She scratched all night. She was irritable and moody all day long. And her mother, who slept with her, couldn't sleep either because she was trying to keep her from, you know, scratching herself all night long and tearing up her skin with her fingernails. And so they lived a miserable existence, and they'd been listening to Pastor Thurman's teachings for some times, and then a church friend asked them, do you think there's some unrepented sin in y'all's life, since you're Jenna's spiritual covering, that maybe there's an unrepented sin of that you don't know about? And so she thought about that, and she went to the Lord. And this being the spiritual covering, they'd been praying, all our team had been praying for her for 2 years, and she had not gotten better. So from 6 till 8, we had been praying for her. And there's pictures of her in that room over there, before and after pictures. All right, so she goes to the Lord, and he tells her, yes, there's unrepented sin. It was her disobedience about having a second child. She was 39. Her husband, I think, was 43, 45, whatever. And she told him she wanted another child. He told her no, he did not want a child in high school in his 60s. And, you know, that was her prerogative, and she should have said okay. She told him, she said, well, I'll do everything not to get pregnant. But she lied to him, and she did everything she could to get pregnant. She deceived him. So, and she had convinced him she was on birth control pills, and she was not. Okay, so she double lied to him. All right, so then when she gets pregnant, she goes to him and says, oh, the Lord must have wanted us to have another child because I'm pregnant. So not only has she lied to him and deceived him, but she put the blame on God, and God was not happy with that. So Jenna was born under the curse of Deuteronomy 28:27. It says, the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. So if you know anybody that has eczema, that's the scripture you need to break that curse off of them. Deuteronomy 28:27, using Galatians 3:13-14, so, which breaks all the curses. She immediately repented to the Lord, then told her husband and asked him to forgive her, which of course he did. He loved Jenna. You know, they'd had her 8 years. And so they called Pastor Thurman in, and he started to pray for her healing, and she said, no, I don't want just the healing. She said, I want a brand new set of skin. So he prayed for her for a brand new set of skin. She had, you'll see in the pictures back there, it's like a little bookmarker kind of picture. It has the before and the after, and it tells the story on the back. She had scars all over her. She looked like she had demons. I mean, that's what it looked like, you know, and she had them everywhere. In fact, one man took her pictures. We gave him some of them, and he took them to, I think it was Walmart, to make copies, and they called the police on him. They thought he was doing child abuse. Isn't that interesting? It was so bad looking. Okay, so they ask him to pray. He does. He prays for a new set of skin without scars and without redness. And within 2 weeks, Jenna gets a brand new set of skin. It was tremendous. And it was the mother's sin that brought the curse on the child. Sickness and sin go hand in hand. In Psalm 119:67, it says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." That's right. If you know that you're messing up and you get knocked in the head with something, you sure don't want to keep doing it. You want to stop. So all glory, honor, and praise to Jesus for Jenna's miraculous healing. It was tremendous. And she's now in her 20s going to college, and she's beautiful. You'll be amazed at the pictures. Well, there was another story that would bring a lot of faith to you. Philip Anthony Wren, when May of 1995, his parents came to Thurman and asked, would he come to their home to pray for their 11-year-old son? Now, he was covered with warts, thousands of warts all over his body, in his eyelids, up his nose, under his fingernails. They'd even burned and left scars on his hands, and the warts grew through the scars. He had warts everywhere in his body. So he went there, and when he got there, the boy showed him his warts, and then he told him, he said, "I hate it because everybody at school calls me Warty." And he'd had these warts from the time he was 3 until he was 11. So for 8 years, he's had these awful warts all over his body. Well, Thurman told him, "Well, son, there's something you need to know about God." And he said, "Need does not move the hand of God. Faith is what moves the hand of God." So if you come to God by faith in his word, he will literally stop the world to take these warts off your body. So for 2.5 hours, he went through the word of God, reading to him great and awesome promises to Philip. And here's a couple of the verses he used to show what faith was in Mark 11:12-14 and Mark 11:20-22 about the fig tree. "And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he," Jesus, "was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply or maybe he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it," he spoke to the fig tree, "No man eat fruit hereof hereafter, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. In the morning as they passed by, the fig tree was dried up by the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withered away." In other words, Jesus cursed that fig tree with his words. And that's why words are so important. What he spoke to the tree, it became. "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." So listen to what you can do if you believe in God. Also in Mark 11:23, Jesus speaking, and he says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever," are you whosoever? I'm a whosoever. "If I shall say to this mountain," if I say to these warts, "Leave, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Well, now Thurman went through several places like this for the 2.5 hours to build Philip's faith in the Word of God. He wasn't a pastor then. He was a Sunday school teacher and a deacon in the Justin Baptist Church. So then after that 2.5 hours, he asked Philip a question, just like Jesus always did. He said, "Now, Philip, do you believe that the Jesus that I read about this afternoon can take these warts off of you, off your body?" He answered, "Mr. Scrivener, after what I've heard you read to me this afternoon, I believe he can do anything." And Thurman said, "Son, that's great faith. There will be no problem now." So he said, let's turn over to Matthew 18:19, where Jesus is speaking. He said, "Again, I say unto you that if two shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." So he turned to Philip and he said, this says there needs to be two of us. He said, there's 5 of us here. There's you, your sister, your mother and dad, and me. And he said, and we're here on the earth, so we meet all the criteria that Jesus required here. We're going to pray by faith. So they knelt down together on the floor. He asked the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. He reminded them that no prayers are answered by God, that the Father in heaven, except you ask the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. So you should never pray any other way other than Father, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. And when you get through asking Him for whatever it is that you need to praise Him and thank Him for the answer. Never ask the Lord for anything without praising and thanking Him for the answer. And they did just that. So when they got through with that, they stood up, and his mother, Philip's mother, asked Thurman, well, when are the warts going to come off of Philip? And he said, well, that's the only thing that the Lord doesn't tell me. But he said, I can guarantee you this, that if you stay in faith with me and you have no doubt in your heart, I can guarantee you in a matter of a few days or a few weeks, Philip will have no warts on his body. They will all come off because it's written in the Word of God. It's written there that if two of us agree about anything, that's according to God's will. And we know for a fact that healing is according to God's will. So they will come off. And he said, but I guarantee you one other thing that's going to happen. He said, as soon as I walk out of this house, there's going to be an enemy coming here, and his name is Satan. And he's going to say to you, you think just because that gray-headed guy came in here and quoted a few scriptures out of this Bible and knelt there on the floor and spoke a few words into the atmosphere, you really think that these warts that have been on Philip's body for 8 years are going to come off when even they burned them off and they still grew back in the scars? He said, you really think it's going to make those warts go away? And he said, when that happens, do not entertain that thought. You grab your Bible, you open it to Matthew 18:19, and then you say, Satan, listen to what God says. Again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So you then tell the devil to leave in the name of Jesus, and he will leave. So Thurman left there that Sunday afternoon around 5:30 p.m. And the next morning, the mother got up to go check Philip at 7 a.m., and all the warts underneath his fingernails were gone. So it started happening. So they started praising the Lord and thanking the Lord that the warts were leaving Philip. And all the warts, after 3 weeks, went away. And Philip had thousands of them. He had them in his eyebrows, in his eyelids, in his nose, all over his body, underneath his fingernails. They had even counted 350 warts on one arm, and because they were going to burn them off, but it was too many. He had thousands of warts. Our precious Jesus even removed the scars off of Philip Anthony Wren's hand. He completely took the scars away. I mean, everything. He was healed with not a wart or a scar on his body, even though he'd had them from 3 to 11 years old. Now you say, why did he have them? It was his parents' sins. They were doing some things they shouldn't be doing. And so, that's why faith is important. It's the most important thing after getting saved. You got to have faith. Faith is knowing the Word of God and believing what it says. So if you believe God and you come to Him by faith, there's nothing that you cannot do. In fact, it says in Mark 9:23, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. In other words, believe and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Well, after hearing Pastor tell this story, I told him, I said, you got to tell this story every time that we go somewhere. I mean, women need to hear this story. And I thought it was incredible. He was in Manny, Louisiana, right before we got married, when they brought an older woman, about 65 years old, up in a wheelchair for prayer. He was doing a healing conference, and after teaching, he asked the lady why she was in the wheelchair. She said, because I'm old. He said, oh, no, that's what, we think that sometimes that we have to blame it on something. She can't walk. She has no energy. He said, well, what if I told you that there is a sin, some kind of sin in your life that's causing this? And she said, I don't believe that. He said, well, she said, no, I'm just getting old and tired, and that's just the way it is. He said, are you married, ma'am? She said, well, I was. And I used to be. He said, well, were you healthy before your husband died? She said, yes, I could do anything that we wanted to do before he died. And after my husband died, then a couple of years later, I started getting weaker and weaker until I finally was confined in a wheelchair about 5 years ago. The process took about 3 years. So from the second year to the fifth year, that's when it took till she finally was confined in a wheelchair. he asked, how did your life change? How did you, what did you do different after your husband died that you didn't do before? She said, nothing. I bet she did something. Anyway, he said, no. Somewhere something changed in your life. You just need to think about it. He said, all of a sudden, your husband's healthy, he dies, you're healthy, and then 2 years later, you're having a problem getting around, and 5 years later, you're confined into a wheelchair, and you can't go anywhere without one. He said, well, how did your lifestyle change? He asked her again. She said, it didn't change. He said, no, you just didn't see it. He said, did you start going with another person? Did you start having intimacy or any kind of physical contact with someone else? She said, well, yes, I guess I did. In other words, he said, did you start having sex with anybody that you didn't have sex with before? Were you and your husband both normal before, you know, when you were married? And she said, yes, we were normal. He said, were you able to have normal sexual relations with your husband? She said, yes, and you were able to enjoy it. She said, well, when your husband died and you don't have another husband, did you get involved with another man somehow? And she says, well, yeah, the meter reader, the guy that comes by and reads the water meter. She said, he'd come by and we'd talk a while, and then, you know, I invited him for a cup of tea, and then after about 3 or 4 months, we started having a sexual relationship. So he said, you have one just about every month then? She said, yes. He said, so this is when you started getting weaker. And she said, you think because I was having sexual intimacy with someone that that's what's causing this problem? He said, yes, ma'am. He said, I think that's what's causing your problem, because God clearly said no sexual immorality among his children. Did he say a little sex, or did he say no sex? He said no sex. And if you take the scripture, James 5:20, that says if you see a person sin and they go out and do something they're not supposed to do, and you tell them that what they're doing is wrong and they repent, you will have saved that sinner from death. He told the woman, death is following what you're doing. Wow, death is following what you're doing? She exclaimed, she said, you think this is going to kill me? He says, yes, I guarantee you it will. He said, it's in God's word. He said, I'm telling you, you got to change. You got to stop having sex with that meter reader, and you got to repent to God and tell him that you will never have sex with anyone that you're not married to. Because clearly the scripture says in 1 John 1:9, once we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I praise God we have that one. He said, do you want to walk again, ma'am? She said, yes, of course I do. He said, well, tell the Lord you're sorry for doing what you were doing. Promise him that you will never have sex with nobody else unless you're married to them. And he said, she said, well, I just didn't realize this was sin. She said, I've been raised a Catholic, and I didn't realize that I was sinning. He said, well, that's even better. If you didn't know it, God will even forgive you even easier. So anyway, she did what he asked. She asked the Lord to forgive her, made him a promise she would never do this anymore. Pastor commanded the spirits to leave her, according to Luke 10:19-20. We have all power and authority over the spirits. He just walked over to the lady and said, would you like to walk? And she said, yes. He reached out his hand. He stood her up, and she walked right off. She said, oh, my God. She said, I'm perfectly normal. I'm not weak or anything. She was instantly healed just like that. So I told Pastor, you got to tell this story. I said, there are a lot of women that are having sex out of marriage, and they're getting weaker, and, you know, they don't know how come they can't walk. They don't know that this is bringing death to them. I said, you need to start telling this. And, you know, the sin that brings, don't you know that sin brings forth death in James 1:15 and Romans 6:23? And you have to tell people point blank sometimes. They got to see it. And when he got back, when we would talk to people, if he got people that were living together, and I mean, they'd have some awful things wrong with them, a lot of cancers, and he'd get them to repent, and he could get them healed every time. It was amazing. So now we're in a downtown storefront Dallas church. And he told that testimony. And a 40-year-old woman walks up in a walker, and she says, "That's me. I'm that woman. I'm that woman. I was such a fool. I started having sex with my boyfriend after I got a divorce." And she said, "I started getting weaker, and I started getting weaker, and I started getting weaker." And she says, "Look at me now. I'm in a walker, and I can no longer have sex, and I'm 40 years old." She said, "Oh, if I had only known." Well, Pastor told her all she had to do was repent. He would drive the demons out. And she had to promise God that she would never have sex again with anyone outside of wedlock. And so she repented. He demanded the spirits to leave her, according to Luke 10:19-20, because we have all power over the spirits. She folded up that walker, and she walked out of that meeting carrying the walker, a free woman. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, that was a praise the Lord. Yeah. God is so merciful to his children. He wants to heal everyone. You know, he wants us all to be healed. Then we were having this healing school over in Justin at his son's gym. And this man came from Kentucky to it. He had colon rectal cancer. He was 40 years old. He had already been to the doctor. The doctor had already told him that he was not going to make it and to go plan his funeral. So he went to the funeral director. He paid for his funeral. And then guess what the funeral director does? He hands him a CD of Pastor Thurman's God's Power, his most requested CD. We had one pastor that requested 5,000 of them and passed them out in the city of Plano, outside of Dallas. Yeah. Anyway, he asked him, he said, "How much do you want for him?" And Thurman said, "We give everything away free, you know." We ran him 5,000 and he passed them out. But anyway, so this young man comes up with colorectal cancer. After, you know, the funeral director, he comes to the very next healing school. And so we ask him who, besides the fact knowing what he had, we ask him who was being a pain in the behind. He knew exactly who it was. It was a man. He repented, forgave the man. Again, pastor drives out the demons, and we prayed for him, and he never got to use his funeral plan. Praise the Lord. He was healed instantly, and he went back home to Kentucky, another free man, because the Lord wanted him healed too. So cancer is unforgiveness. Well, actually about 90% of all the diseases and sicknesses are unforgiveness and bitterness. So you just need to be sure you're walking in love with everyone, because if you're not, you're going to get sick some way. You're going to get sick. And then we had at this same healing school, we had Motorcycle Randy came up. And he had epilepsy since, well, his whole life. And epilepsy is unforgiveness toward the Father. We even had, we were in Georgia one time, and the young man had it. He'd had it when he was a kid against his own father. Then his mother got a divorce, and now he's working for his stepdad. And he had gotten over it, but then he got it again. And then he comes to us because his little five-year-old son has it, because he's in unforgiveness against his stepdad. And so, of course, he repented and the little boy got healed. But you just don't, the sins of the parents, it just follows right along behind you three or four generations. So you need to be sure that you're always walking in love. And if you have children, you need to know that if you're not walking in love, your sins are going to affect your children. You know, it's going to do that. So anyway, Randy came up. He had the epilepsy, but he, for some reason, he didn't repent of his sins, and he had his pastor with him, and the pastor told him to go back up. So this time he came up, and he repented of his sins. We prayed for him, and he said, "Well, what am I going to do with all this medicine?" He had 30 bottles of medicine stuck in his motorcycle jacket. And Thurman told him, "Well, let God decide what to do with it." So he drives home, and it's on his motorcycle, and when he gets home, there are no bottles of medicine in his pocket. None whatsoever. And so God decided for him. Anyway, he didn't have any more seizures for the longest time, until one day he goes to have a work physical that was required, you know, to get a job. And when he went there, the doctor said, "Oh, I see here that you once had epilepsy." And he said, "Yes, I did." And the minute he said that, boom, he had a seizure right there on the floor. And as soon as he got up, he repented for claiming epilepsy, because that's what came back into his life. Your words are power. And so when he said he had epilepsy, he got epilepsy. He had had it before. But anyway, he repented, and he hasn't had a seizure since, and now he's a preacher. I love it. Yeah, I saw him recently because his pastor passed away, and I went to, what was his name? I just went to his funeral. It was good to see him. His wife, she's really nice. So then we had this other man come up. This was really interesting. He had 2700 vision, and he had bottle cap glasses. You know, he couldn't see hardly at all. And he said he wanted prayer for his vision. So Thurman said, well, we can do that. He said, you quote daily Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, and you're whosoever, shall say unto this mountain, about my vision, I need my vision, and be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Well, he told him to say this many times daily. Thank you, Father, for my perfect, sharp, 20/20 vision, up close, far away, night and day, according to Mark 11:23. Because whatever you say with your mouth and believe with your heart, you can have whatsoever you say. Well, Pastor Thurman was speaking over at Hillcrest Church. It was like a luncheon, and Christy, my daughter, and I went there to sing to open it. It was Christmas, and so we did some Christmas songs and did some of our originals. Anyway, just as we were going to the stage, the man walks over and says, do you remember me? And Pastor says, no, sir, I don't. He said, well, I'm the man that had 2700 vision. He said, well, I see you're not wearing any glasses. He said, no, sir, I'm healed. He said, well, tell me what happened. He said, I'm driving down the road. He said, after about 10 months of saying this daily, many times daily, out loud. He said, I'm driving down the road, and I'm thanking him for my perfect, clear 20/20 vision, up close, far away, night and day, according to Mark 11:23. And all of a sudden, the Lord audibly speaks to him and says, you finally believe it. He said, well, I thought I believed it the first time. So he pulls over, because he couldn't see anything without his glasses. So he pulls over, he takes off his glasses, he quotes it again, and he said, as God is my witness, right in front of me, he said, everything, my vision became perfect. And wow, that's what we said too. And so Thurman said, well, that's wonderful. He said, is that a Bible in your pocket? And he said, yeah, and he pulled it out. And Pastor looked at it, and he said, this is a 4-font Bible. He said, you can read this? He said, oh, yeah. He said, well, I can't read this. He said, maybe I need as much, I got cheated, I need as much faith as you have. But what it was such a blessing to see this man get his 2700 vision. I mean, that's a long way away. What you can see at 20 feet, he can't see for 700 feet. Wow, that's right. Okay. Then we had an interesting thing happen. I had a 17-year-old young man named Trevor come to a healing school. The healing school before, his stepdad had come there and gotten healed of a stroke, and stroke is unforgiveness. And he had unforgiveness against, I think, his employer or someone he worked for. Anyway, he repented, prayed for him, and 2 weeks later he got to go back to work, you know, completely healed. So Trevor says, I'm a man of God, and I believe God can heal me too. He had crushed his right ankle and broken both bones in his right leg playing football. He's 17 years old. And he's in a walking cast. And so we pray for him, and he walks off, but he's in great pain. But he says, I'm a man of faith, and I believe I'll be healed, you know. And they told him that he was going to have massive surgeries, pins, bolts, and he would never play sports again, and he would never run. Well, he believed he could be healed, and so we prayed. He walked off in much pain, but I happened to talk to his mother, and I found out that he hated his dad, his real dad, who was in prison. So Trevor called back the next week and said, I've got to talk to Pastor. He said, my leg is killing me. I said, well, Pastor's not here. But I said, you know, I talked to your mother last time when y'all were here, and I said, she tells me that you hate your dad. He said, yes, I do. I said, well, Trevor, you can't hate anybody. And to begin with, that's why it happened to the right side of the leg, because the right side of the body is male, and the left side is female. And so that's why he crushed his ankle and broke both the bones in his leg. I said, well, do this. I said, write your dad a letter and tell him that you forgive him and you will love him no matter what. Now, he's in prison, like I said. And so he promised me he would, and he did. 2 weeks later, Trevor comes back to the church. He's been totally healed, no surgeries, and he's running hurdles and got a football scholarship to play college ball. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, it was really something. So, it also says in the forgiving Father we have once he forgives us, but it says in Mark 11, 25, 26, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses, which means you get to go bust hell wide open if you don't forgive, because nothing that is not perfect and holy get to go to heaven. So nothing defiled. So when you sin and have unforgiveness against someone, it will show up on that particular side of the body. Actually, I told you earlier, 90% of the sickness and disease that we see is always unforgiveness. I don't care. It just seems that's the way it is. And the Lord tells us to forgive or he won't forgive him. So we'd always say to people, is it worth not forgiving this person and you get to spend the rest of eternity in hell and being tormented to hold unforgiveness against them? And most of the time they would say, no, it's not worth it. Well, then you have to forgive him. You have to release him. You have no option, and you have to learn not to take offense. And that was one of the things that happened to me about 2 months after Thurman and I married. I'll never forget. We're standing in the hallway of the condo, and I don't know what, something was going on at church, because the church in the beginning came against me a lot, well, for whatever reason. And I guess they wanted to test me. Maybe that was it. And so he says, Jesus said, offenses shall come. He said, but not to receive them. And he said, so you've got to learn to do that. He said, because if you walk in offense, then, God can't forgive you, and then you don't get to go to heaven. And it's not worth it to go to hell and suffer an eternity holding against unforgiveness against someone. It doesn't hurt them. It only hurts you. They don't know that you're mad at them, Well, then we had a pilot friend that came. His name was Larry. In fact, there's a story about him, how the Lord, I forget what airplane he was flying some big airplane for one of the airlines. And he ended up having to land in downtown Houston on the freeway. And if you know anything about Houston, they have got 6 rows of traffic there, and it's always full. But this particular day, the Lord flew him in, and later when he went back to look at it, he saw all these power lines, and the Lord told him, he said, I was flying the plane then. And so, yeah, he got a revelation about that. But anyway, Larry, he's a good Christian man. And he and Thurman, of course, had a lot in common, because they're both, international pilots. And so he was over the healing room for the healing room's over at Gateway Church, Robert Morris's church, and they have like 39,000 members, but they won't allow them to speak about sin there. So he brought this lady out that had breast cancer because they couldn't get it healed there at their church. And so he brought her out there. And so he learned a lot about breast cancer that day. What we've discovered is breast cancer is unforgiveness against a woman. If it's in the left breast, or you would say that's family because it's over the heart, it's against a woman in the family or yourself. If it's in the right breast, it's a woman outside of the family or your husband. We've seen that 2 or 3 times that it's been the husband. But most of the time, it's not. It's usually a woman. And we have like a 99.9% healing rate of breast cancer out of thousands of women. It's amazing. We've only seen 3 that died. So when it's in the right side, it could be your employer, your friend, the pastor's wife, or the woman that had an adulterous affair with your husband. And we've seen that many times. And it'd be the wife forgives the husband for committing adultery, but she doesn't forgive the woman. And you ask her if she forgives the woman, and she goes, like, she didn't forgive the woman. She sounds like a cat. And then, of course, we have them to forgive, and then they get healed. They've gotten healed every time. I don't think anyone that had an affair situation like that, none of them have passed. Well, when he got home, his and this woman, she did get healed that day of the breast cancer. So he had learned a lot, you know, and he had had a lesson about it, you know. And his daughter calls him and says that her daughter, his granddaughter, has got a knot in her breast the size of an egg in her right breast. Her nipple's inverted, and there's fluid coming out. Well, you know, she's got cancer. And so he said to her, do you have an unforgiveness against a woman outside of the church, I mean, outside the family? She said, yes, I do. The pastor's wife. Uh-oh. And she's on staff at the church. Wow. I mean, she's really walking down the wrong road. So the sins of the parents are passed down 3 to 4 generations. And so Larry tells her, call the pastor's wife, apologize, and get right with her. So she does. And he said, then I'll be over to pray for the granddaughter. So he does, after he goes over there, and after he knows that she's called and worked through the forgiveness with the pastor's wife, he prays for the granddaughter. And the next day, the 10-year-old little girl is completely healed. And the thing was, yeah, it's praise the Lord. And the thing was, she had hid it from her mother for 6 months. She'd had that happening for 6 months. There's no telling how far that cancer had gone, you know. But the fact that she had, you know, repented and forgave the pastor's wife, like I said, the sins of the parents passed 3 to 4 generations. It was her sin. The little girl had not done anything. It was the mother's sin, you know. And it was the right breast because it was against a woman outside of the family. Okay. So it pays good dividends to walk in love with everyone, especially the pastor's wife. All right. Well, this next story, it was really something. As Thurman was on prayer lines at Daystar, he had been doing a show with another ministry, and then he would get on the prayer lines as just, you know, a gesture of free will. And so this first call he got was from a man. He said, Thurman says, this is Daystar Television. How can I help you? And the man said, I need you to pray for my wife. My wife left me and the children, and she went to work in a strip club. Well, pastor said, well, she's not a Christian. He said, no, we weren't Christians when we got married. He said, but later, you know, I found Jesus, but she never did. And he said, finally, one day she just left and walked out and left me and the kids and went to work in a strip club. That's kind of different. Well, Thurman said, well, let's you and me go to the throne of grace, because Hebrews 4:16 clearly says that God has given me and you power and authority of the enemy. So it's clear the enemy has blinded the mind of your wife, and that's what caused her to leave home. So I'm going to catch myself up into the third heaven, where I'm already seated at the right hand of Jesus. Are we seated at the right hand of Jesus? Yes, we are. That's what Scripture says. We forget that really easy. So he says, I'm going to go to the throne of grace because of what Jesus did for me. I go to the throne of grace. I begin to rebuke the devil. I quote the scriptures like Luke 10:19-20, where I have been given all power and authority over the devil. He has to obey me. So I begin to exercise those scriptures. I begin to command the devil to get his hands off this woman. Lord, now I want you to take the scales off her eyes and open her eyes so she can, you know, see the truth. And I claim this woman's spirit, soul, and body for you in service and to the kingdom, your kingdom, forever. Well, now, Lord, I also ask you to let her husband or her ex-husband, whatever he is, to be the one that will be able to bring her into the kingdom of God. And I want you to thank you, Lord, for saving this woman and bringing her out of that club, bringing her back home to her husband and her children, and everything go good in their lives from this point forward, in Jesus' name. Okay, now then, do you have that kind of power and authority? Yes, according to the word we do. So anyway, he said, call me with your praise report, son. Now you notice that everything he did it in faith. He didn't say, well, if God does something, call me and let me know. He told him to call him with the praise report. He knows that he's been given power, authority, dominion, and whatever he binds on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever he looses on earth is loosed in heaven, according to Matthew 16:19, Matthew 18:18. He knows all those scriptures. You know, Thurman was well-versed in scriptures. He knew the power and authority he had. So he said, I'm exercising my power and my authority that is given to me through the power of God, bringing this baby into the earth, giving me power, and making me his son, and making me equal with Jesus. Now, this is mind-boggling, but, you know, most people don't know it. Even Christians, they don't spend enough time reading the Word. And you read the Word out loud. So anyway, we prayed for this girl, and I told him, now then, call me with your praise report. I'm not going to be on this show again until next week. We only, you know, film one day a week. So the next Friday at 6 p.m. when we go on the prayer lines, his phone rings. And he's the first phone rings, and it happens to be his. It's amazing how God directs phone lines and everything. Isn't he awesome? He's just out of this world. But for God, it's not a problem. He's got it under control. You know, we shouldn't stand in awe. He's God. My goodness gracious. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Well, it depends on how much word you have in you is how much power you have in you. And that's why Thurman was such a great man of God and was such a great man of faith, because he spent 8-10 hours a day in the Word. I mean, he loved the Lord, and that's what he did. So anyway, the phone rings. The man says, I need to talk to Thurman Scrivener. He said, well, son, this is Thurman Scrivener. How can I help you? He says, well, this is so-and-so. He said, well, son, okay, how can I help you? He said, well, you don't remember me? He said, son, I pray for lots of people on these prayer lines every week, and no, sir, I'm sorry, I do not remember you, but how can I help you? And that's another thing about Thurman. In the prayer lines, he would always get, he wouldn't let the people just keep telling the story. He would get to what it is, what do you need, you know, that's where we're headed. So he said, I'm the man that had the wife that left and went to work in a strip club. He said, oh, I do remember you. I don't have many of those, and I am so grateful that I don't, you know. He said, so what did the Lord do for you, son? And listen to this. He said, within 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, we hung up the phone. He said, my ex-wife called me from the club and asked, would I come down and get her? She said it was like scales fell off her eyes, and she saw that she was stripping in front of all these men in this club. She went and got her uniform. She took them all, turned them in, and she called me and wanted to know if I would go down there and pick her up, which, of course, he did. He went and got her. He said, I brought her home. I started talking to her about Jesus. He led her to Jesus. The next day, they went and got a marriage license. And 3 days later, they went and got married. And he said, everything has been great this week ever since. And that's right. That's right. And Thurman asked the question, fantastic, son. How long had your wife been gone? And he said, 14 years. 14 years she had abandoned the family. Thurman said, boy, am I so glad you didn't tell me that. He said, because this is what I would have said. You stop and think where we live. He said, if you had said that you want me to pray for my wife, she's been gone over 14 years, I would have said, son, she's been gone 14 years. Just forget her, throw her away, and get you another one. Because there ain't no use praying for someone that's been gone 14 years. It's over. But see, he didn't tell me that, and neither did God give him that information. And he said he knew where my faith level was, and he knew that if I didn't know how long she'd been gone, I could pray in faith. He said, I thought, whoa, maybe she'd been gone a few months, maybe a week, maybe a year, but 14 years? Not 14 years. I can have faith for a couple of weeks. He said, y'all understand where I'm coming from? That just tells us how big our Jesus is. Jesus said we can pray for anything. Is that what he said? That's what he said, right? And so now you see where we live. Now you see I've been a man of unbelief too. So there's hope for me. There's hope for you too. And there is. There's hope for all of it. I just love that marriage restoration story. So God wrote the book for all of us. He told us what we can do. And he said, think about this magnificent gift. We don't have a clue what the gift really includes, but Jesus came to this earth to die for your sins and my sins, and then he raised again on the third day, and then he gave us all power and all authority. We have it all. And here we have all this on earth, and most of us even miss the simplest part, and that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, should there be anybody on this earth die and go to hell? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They should not. But what's wrong with us? We're not telling them. That's one of the things. I don't care where we went, what store we were in, our restaurant, or where. I don't care if we're walking up to the, you know, the airline person to check on a plane. The first thing he would say to the person before he said anything else about what we were ordering or what we needed, he would always say, "Are you a Christian? Where do you go to church?" And, you know, they'd either say yes or no. If they weren't a Christian, he'd lead them to Christ right there. I've never seen anybody like him. But anyway, you need to learn that we have power, dominion, authority over the forces of darkness. You need to learn who you are. Satan and the host of demons are the enemy and not the people. Demons cannot touch you unless you sin. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that keepeth, that is begotten of God, keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. So in other words, you don't practice sinning. You know, you don't make it your lifestyle to go out and sin. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So Jesus gave you power, complete authority over the demons, according to Luke 10:19-20, which we've been over that a whole bunch. "Behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, rejoice not that you have power of the spirits," and that's the evil spirits, "but rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." Well, Lord, we rejoice that our names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord. This is probably the biggest deliverance story that I've ever heard of and was involved in. I received an email from a young girl that she was 35, and she wanted to know if she could meet us in Silver City, New Mexico, when we were going to be out there. She lived in Arizona. She'd been sick for a year and a half with constant pain in her stomach. And I told her, sure. I said, just come up the first night, you know, let me know who you are, and we'll set up a private meeting with Pastor Thurman. And so the doctors couldn't find anything wrong with her. They'd run all kinds of tests with her. She drove the 5 hours from Arizona, and she came, you know, that night. We arranged the meeting for the following morning in the La Quinta breakfast room, okay? So we later saw her that same night. We were in the Walmart getting some, lunch meat or something, and I saw her and said hi to her, and I asked her, I said, do I need to be there tomorrow? And she said, oh, no. And I said, okay, you know, would she feel comfortable being there with Thurman alone? And she said, oh, yeah, because it's a breakfast room. I said, great, I'll sleep in. That's what I'm known for, you know. And so I almost missed lunch today. I almost slept through it. So Pastor Thurman, he met her downstairs in the breakfast room at the La Quinta Inn. And he had no idea, besides meeting her, he was going to meet the strong man, Leif, L-E-I-E-F, Leif, and his legion of demons. Well, she appeared to be a strong Christian. Her Bible's all marked up. She homeschooled 4 children. She was, but she couldn't get rid of the stomach pain. And so Pastor told her that it was just demons and he would cast them out of her. And he told her to repent of all known and unknown sins. And she said, oh, I've been listening to your teachings for months. And she had already done that, so she knew where she had to be. She'd already, you know, repented. She'd been listening for months, and she'd repented of every sin. And he told her that he would cast the demons out, and he would command them not to manifest. So if you're ever casting out a demon, when you know that you have the power and authority to do that, you tell them not to manifest, because they will manifest because they like to do that. They like to freak people out. So, and there were several people there in the La Quinta breakfast room. He didn't want to make the whole place go crazy. So he said, then I'm going to command the beast to come out of you, and he's going to come out. All right. So he looks across the table and says to her, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out right now and with no manifestations. Well, the demon didn't pay any attention to him. He went wild. He began to scream. They make a lot of noise, too, if you haven't heard one, if you haven't been close to them. That's exactly the way they sound. Hopefully that wasn't too loud. Anyway, and they cuss and everything else, and he's in a public place. And finally, she got worse, and he's trying to command him to shut up because he's talking in a man's voice. She is no longer there. This demon's talking. He just ain't paying a whole lot of attention to Thurman. And so Pastor finally says, how many demons are in you? And the demon said in a man's voice, 2,823. He said, 2,823. He said, you have to come out. She's repented of every sin. The demon says, no, she hasn't. Uh-oh, that's exactly right. The pastor says, well, what gives you legal right to be in her? He said, that stupid blankety blankety blank woman, and it wasn't very nice what he said. She let me in and gave me legal right about 24 years ago when she's 11, okay? When she became a member of the Rainbow Girls. He said her mother was Eastern Star, her grandparents were Masons, and he said, so I have all kinds of legal right to her. And we found that with the Masonic curse is, it goes all the way down the bloodline. Parkinson's is caused by Masons, cancers, heart, you name it. There's all kinds of things that we've seen. Our dementia. We had one lady that had dementia because of the Masons. But anyway, pastor says, well, I'm going to get her to repent, and then I'm going to cast you out. And the demon spoke back to him and said, but she will never be able to do that. I am so interwoven with her and her brain. She'll never be able to repent of that sin. Well, pastor said, that's no problem. I'm going to repent of her sin. And the demon, what? He said, it's written in John 20:23. And you need to know this one if you don't know it. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted, are forgiven. So I can forgive your sins. You can forgive sins. Just like I told you about my dad falling into hell yesterday. I went in that ICU room and remitted of his sins. You know? So he said, so in the name of Jesus. And as he did that, she snarled. She rolled out her tongue and curled it back in her mouth. She crossed her eyes. She drew her neck down and she looked like a big old viper. And she looked across at Thurman and spit on him. And he said, almost nobody knows that. He said, but I know it. And you're coming out of her because I'm repenting for all her sins. Whew. We can do anything. We can repent of anyone's sin. This woman was saved. She was a born-again, spirit-filled woman of God. Thurman had spent an hour and a half talking to her. She was a daughter of the king. She was the most gentle little Christian woman. Her Bible was marked everywhere. But this thing that she let in her 24 years ago was now manifesting in her, and he was taking her out. He was going to kill her. That was the plan. So, in fact, all of a sudden, it got so vile in there, and she started screaming at him. Pastor said, God, I need Cheryl down here right now. God, get her to come down here right now. He said, because they're going to call the cops. You know how people are. You know, this woman's manifesting in this breakfast room, and it's full of people. It had people in there. And so, boy, just in a second, I pick up the phone, and I call him, and I said, are you still down there with that woman? He says, get down here right now. I need you now. So when I cross, man, I was out the door in 2 seconds. And I go running down there. So there's a table against the right wall like that. And he's over here, she's over there, and I sit in the middle. Okay, so now I'm involved in the deliverance with this poor little girl. And this is my first deliverance. I've seen people manifest. I've seen him deliver them. But I've never been in the big middle before. Okay. So we're getting wilder all the time. And of course, all of a sudden, he said, okay, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus, I've remitted all her sins. I command you to come out now. How many are left? Well, all of a sudden, there's 2,800, there's 2,300, there's 1,400. And then finally, we get down to four. We're down to four. And he's all the time commanding, according to Luke 10:19-20, he's commanding the devils out of her, the demons. Well, these beasts are coming out, and we're nearly there. So, pastor, he says, in the name of Jesus, I command you to the rest of you to come out. And he said, what's your name? And the demon says, leave, leave. He said, okay, come out of her, leaf. And when he said that, her body went up in the air, threw her as far back as one of the poles right there, right in the middle of the floor. And we're in the middle of the restaurant, right in the middle of the floor. She has just been thrown from there that far. Now, how can somebody be thrown from there like that? How can that happen? Well, the demon did it, you know. They threw her. So he jumps up, he runs over there, he gets on down on top of her, and then here comes, runs over a paramedic. He says, sir, I'm a paramedic, can I help you? He said, no, sir. He said, I'm a pastor, I'm kicking out this demon. And then he said, I don't need any help from the outside world. I said, okay, here we go. And it was quite an interesting day. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, of course, I'm down there on her. I'm on her legs because she's trying to hurt him. She's trying to kick him. She's trying to hurt him. So I'm holding her feet down so she doesn't hurt him and everything. Now, this, she's thrown herself into the floor, and now he's commanding the demons to come out. She bowed her back, and she rolled her head back, and she rolled her tongue out. And like I said, she could roll her tongue, twist it inside her mouth, and still talk. And you could understand everything she said. She crossed her eyes. She threw up all kinds of stuff and foam. And then finally he said, I guess because of all the foam and stuff that was coming up, he said, now you're delivered. And she says in her own voice, yes, I'm free. I'm free. We should have known the lion beast was still there. Anyway, and he said, good, praise God. And he gets up. Well, he starts, so we're in the middle of the room, and he starts walking back. And just as he gets to here, she goes airborne. She kicks both feet up. Airborne, karate style. I don't know how she could do that. I can't do that. And hits him in the side with both feet. Clips him. Well, she jumped up after she did that. And she starts, like, she's a fighting machine. She's got her arms mowing, you know. She's doing this. And he walks straight into her, grabs her, and throws her on the ground. Yeah, that was pretty exciting. I've never seen anything like that in my life. All right. So, we're in a restaurant. We are on the carpet right over there now. We've gone from there, and now we're over here. Now, this breakfast room, it's about this big of this building right here. Okay, he throws her on the ground. He puts the leg on her right arm. He puts this knee in her stomach. He grabs one arm, puts it on the other, and then he grabs with his left hand, he grabs the back of her hair, and he starts pounding her head on the ground. And I'm on her feet. I'm holding her down. And he's pounding her head. And the demon says, and he's hollering, come out of her. All right. So he's beating her head on the floor. And the demon says in a man's voice, you're going to kill her. And he says, if I have to kill her to get you out of there, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And he would not let up. And I'm holding her feet through all this because she's still trying to kick him and hurt him and everything. Well, after that, then in walks the owner. And he comes over there, and we're right there, you know, on the floor. He says, what are y'all doing? You're scaring everybody in this place. Everybody, all my employees, they're all afraid. He said, you know, you got to do something. I said, well, my husband's a pastor. He's casting out a demon. We've got it well under control. He said, we're going to call 911. I said, no, 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 no. You don't need to call the police. I said, we got it under control. We're going to take care of it. And he said, well, could you just at least take her to your room or something? I said, sure, we'll take her to the room. So that's what we did. We got her up, walked her out. Well, about that time, Dave and Ayesha were walking in the lobby as we were struggling, because as we're going out, she's going, you know, all this stuff all the way through the place. I mean, all the way through the place. I mean, she's a scary creature, you know. And so he says, Dave, come over here and help me. And so she did, and we told Ayesha, stay away. She had little John, firstborn, and she was pregnant with Evelyn. So this has been almost 15 years ago. So Dave helps us to get her upstairs to the room, and that's his first experience now with the demon. We go upstairs, we throw her on the bed, throw her on my pillow. I don't know why I had the deluxe room service that day, but she was on my pillow. I had a wash rag. He jumps on top of her, holding her down. Dave's holding her feet down because she's, again, still trying to hurt him. Like I said, we're down to two demons, and foam's coming out of her mouth, and I keep taking the wash rag and go, you know, washing it out and wiping the crap out, out of her hair and everything. And so we know there's still four, and then he gets them down to two. And so I'm going back and forth, you know, taking care of that. And it was an interesting day. It was only 5.5 hours. So it wasn't exactly a 5-minute deal. And then he finally says to God, okay, God, Lord, I am fed up with this devil. When is this going to be over? You told me that I have all power over the devil in Jesus' name. When is it going to be over? And the Lord spoke to him. He said, when you believe in your heart that it's over, he's gone. When you believe in your heart, in other words, you have the faith in your heart, he's gone. The pastor said, okay, you devil hell, in the name of Jesus, you're out of here. It's over. He jumped off of her. He stood up. He said, you're delivered, woman. And I guarantee it in the name of Jesus. And she was. She looked at Dave and said, what are you doing? Because he's holding her feet down, you know, because she's trying to kick Thurman. And he lets go of her feet. And he said, well, you were trying to hurt Pastor, so that's why I was holding your feet. And then she, and I'm sitting beside her. She's laying there on my pillow. She said, where am I? I said, well, you're in our room. You've just been through deliverance, and you're delivered now. And so Dave, he was being the nice guy. He spent another hour talking to her. And she ended up, she was totally delivered that day. She was a normal woman and went home to Arizona totally 100% delivered. Yes, yes, yes. So that was such a great day, and it was mine and Dave's first experience with a live demon. And it was interesting. Now, who would think a little tiny 110-pound woman, 35 years old, could be so afflicted by a demon, you know? And when Pastor asked, how'd you get in there since, you know, her sins are all repented of, he said, nope. You know, she had allowed it to get in there because she, 24 years before, had joined the Rainbow Girls. And her mother was an Eastern Star, and her daddy and her granddaddy and Paul's were all Masons. And the Rainbow Girls are the girls' portion of the Eastern Star. It's a children's organization of the devil. Masons are of the devil. It's an occult. So the Rainbow Girls is how she let the demon in, and that was very interesting. My very first deliverance, and there were 2,823 demons. Man, I got broke in good. Well, the last story I'm going to tell you is about my hurdler husband. We were ministering in Olathe, Kansas, and after he finished, we went to eat at the IHOP with the pastor and his wife. And so Dave was with us, but Dave was tired, and so he wanted to go back to the hotel, so the pastor drove him over to the hotel. Well, sure enough, up walks the waiter, and pastor does what he always does. He says to the waiter if he's a Christian and where he goes to church. And all of a sudden, a man shouts out and says, you can't talk about Jesus in a public restaurant. Well, you just shot my husband up out of his chair. He jumps up. He says, who said that? And this guy over there, as far back over where Eric is, he says, I did. Well, and he was drunk. He yells he did. So pastor physically vaults over 2 6-foot plexiglass, you know, things that separate the booths. He jumps over them. He grabs the man. And I stood up because I'm watching it, you know. He grabs the man by his shirt. He goes, man, the demons get out of him, and threw him back down. And the guy goes, wow, I needed that. Well, about that time, the pastor returns, and she tells her husband, wow, did you really miss something? And about that time, there was a man that was, I guess we were sitting here, so he was over there. A tall man comes walking over there, and he says, sir, are you speaking in a church here in town? He said, well, I'm speaking at that pastor's church. So the pastor gave the man a card. That tall man put down $100 bills. He paid for our breakfast. He came to every meeting, and he got healed. So there was never a dull moment walking through our ministry life with the Scriveners, I'm telling you. It was a privilege. It was an honor to watch my husband as he would kick out demons, heal the sick, and deliver the oppressed. And so many wonderful healings and miracles. His teaching has changed our church forever and millions of people's lives. And you need to be sure you take some of his teachings in there because they're so anointed. He taught us how to pray and set the captives free. And he taught us how to pray and get people healed. Anybody can get someone healed. All you got to do is repent, take a scripture, believe it, trust in God, obey Him, stand on it, and He'll heal you because He promises to you. Pastor Thurman was bold and passionate about his faith in the Lord. He loved the Lord so much. I so admired the way he was. I'm so proud, forever grateful to God to have been married to him for 17 and a half blessed years and ministering around the world together wherever the Lord led us. And it was a lot of places. And I went to his church for 2+ years before the Lord put us together. He was the man that made my life complete, and he was a precious gift chosen by God for me. And he was one in a million. There will never, ever be another Pastor Thurman Scrivener. I will forever cherish our love and the magnificent memories of the Lord working through our ministry. And Lily, our sweet Lily puppy dog, she and I miss him so much and love him forever. So I speak blessings over everybody tonight. And I believe the Lord will heal everyone who needs a touch from the Master. You just, like I said, you got to repent. You got to stand on the scripture to be healed. And you got to believe that God will do what he says that he will do. He trust, obey. Nothing will be impossible to you. Pastor Keith, you want to close with a word?
Praise the Lord. We just want to say one thing real quick is that we heard about Thurman many years ago. He was here in the Des Moines area once. And we had a friend of ours that had a CD that gave it to us and said, you got to listen to this guy. And I heard this simple faith that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, we need him here. And I said, I don't know if he'll ever come, but we'll try. So I called, and sure enough, they said they'd come. And we've been, about 15 years that you've been
15.
Here?
Mm-hmm.
On and off on what we've been doing. It's just been praise. We've been blessed. We've had many people healed and set free. And really, it's been a very big part of our ministry of teaching and understanding the Word. Really amazing. We also, the first time we had Thurman come, we had Kristen Elaine over there came to our home church. We were in the home at the time because we were going to have Thurman here. And then later on, Karen and Jeff, Karen's mom said, you got to go to this church because this guy's going to be there. So they came in, and we just had tremendous people that have stopped by and seen what's going on. We've had a blessed time through all this time. So we praise God that you were able to come today and be with us. Because I know, you know, the uncertainty that's in your life because of, you know, the loss of Thurman and what's happening. But we are so blessed to have you here, and we do thank you for being here.
Well, I'm blessed to have you as my good buddies, and also blessed that this was the first place I got to come speak. I think that it broke the ice, as you would say, and it is also the fact that y'all love me, and I know you love me, and I love y'all, and so... You know, I knew that, and I know the people, a lot of the people, and I knew that, and I knew God was going to move anyway. Just like I said, Myrna, she didn't have to take her arthritis medicine this morning. Praise the Lord. Yeah. He's not through. You know, once the Lord starts something, he's not finished.
Amen.
So it'll just keep coming.